What's up, player?
How you doing, man?
Man, I can't complain. What's the world like with you today?
It's nice, dude. Yesterday was a gorgeous day. Didn't even get into the 80s. It was we were out on the deck in the evening. It was lovely.
You got bugs?
Yeah, that was the thing. About 8 o'clock, the bugs started attacking me. I must be like a mosquito buffet or something, because they're like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And so I'm like, I'm out of here.
I saw that Diet Coke in your bloodstream.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
It might be. You might be right.
They want a little piece of it. Little piece. What's the deal? You know, remember, who was that? Seinfeld. What's the deal?
Yep.
What's the deal with email, bro?
Email, man. I think it's just been a, you know, it's a tool that had its day, just like the phone, you know. And how many people, you know, leave a voicemail anymore? People aren't leaving emails. Now it's evolved and things are moving, right? It's moved to a text message or a company chat or a Slack message, something like that. So I think email is still a useful tool, but its shine has faded. Its light has faded.
Is it dying?
I would say it's probably dying.
Yeah. And that's interesting, because it was such the core of business.
Yeah.
And it was the core of communication. Like, I can remember, this is so funny, I can remember being a sales rep and we didn't have BlackBerries yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so back then, the whole deal was that we didn't have Wi-Fi either.
Yeah.
Right. This is crazy. I know this is going to trip some people out, but didn't have Wi-Fi. You had your laptop. You needed that so you could put your calls in. Right. Mm-hmm. You go see a doctor, go see a pharmacy. You put your calls in. And the big deal was that you would get home, plug up the computer, and all hell would have broken loose. You wouldn't have known.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just like 50 emails, then people are like emailing you. But it just seems like back then it was the source of truth, is how you communicate it. And now there are people who don't even reply to their emails.
Sure.
And that astounds me. So I feel like, you know, text messaging and DMs are really taking over.
I couldn't agree more.
And what it feels like is that sort of like your inner circle, if you will, are the people who you communicate with the most.
Yep.
Right. Right. And so if you have an inner circle, then you're probably on a text message relationship.
Exactly.
So do you feel like more business is being handled via text than on email?
I mean, that's a big question. I think depending on industry, I think overall the answer to that is yes. Mm-hmm. I think, think about it, right? It's like with email, yeah, you can CC different people on there, but you don't get that like instant gratification of people responding to it. For the most part, it's like email now, it's acceptable to sit on an email for 8 to 10 to 16 hours, and that's okay. Whereas you shoot somebody a text, and there's an understanding, or at least a hope, that they're going to respond within the next hour
or
two.
They can throw you a thumbs up or a little heart.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. And it you know, now there are repercussions to that too. Because we see it all the time. If we're doing a training or we're coaching somebody, they're hooked to that damn phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's a bunch of stuff about that I want to talk about later on being successful. And again, you know, work-life balance has been a theme that we've talked about a lot. And it's going to probably continue in this episode, too.
You need it. You absolutely need it. I'm just trying to figure out, like, okay, so what's what's the next step? Like, how do we continue to be successful when we see something that's going away? Because as I see it, it's almost as if email is turned into a CYA.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Something I can save, something I can send to myself. Right. And it's documented that I sent it. And or if there's, you know, a file that you need. But even now, I feel like we've gone from a place of people where they used to just send you a document. Now they're sending you a link to it.
Right.
And you've been in this side of the IT world for a while, and you've seen it. What are your thoughts around the transition we made to, sort of a cloud based here? You know, here's the document, here's the link, here's not the hard copy. What are your thoughts on that transition?
I love it. I mean, as a guy who works in multimedia and, you know, photography and videography, I deal with big files, and they're only getting bigger, right? The better cameras get, the better movies get, the better everything gets, the bigger the file gets. And that's why, you know, the move to cloud storage, cloud hosting, cloud backups. I mean, I can't tell you back in the day, especially for somebody who maybe isn't the most organized person in the world, where on my hard drive did I save this? Do I have a copy? My laptop, I lost my laptop. I lost my phone. Oh no, I've lost all my pictures. You know, oh no, I lost all my contacts. You know, that's, unless this is a completely separate conversation, because I don't understand how in today's world, my cousin, every time she gets a new phone, she's like, hey, she has to call my dad to get my phone number. I'm like, how do you do that? Anyway, I digress. But I mean,
using flip phones?
I don't know. She has a brand new iPhone. I don't even know how that's technically possible. But the idea, right, to me is, and my dad and I have this conversation, right, because it's like, some people are all freaked out by the cloud. It's like, oh, everybody's going to get my stuff and it's going to be out there. And maybe. But like, do you really think you're that important that people are going to be like, oh, let's go find this guy's stuff? And maybe you are. And that's cool. But on the flip side, as long as you have some two-factor authentication turned on and you've got decent passwords and stuff, it's all scrambled up and turned into scrambled eggs on the other side. You'd be sifting through so much crap trying to find anything of use.
I just saw something where AT&T said somebody broke in and got everybody's text messages in 2022.
They didn't get the text messages. They got who you texted.
Who you texted. Ooh, child.
I mean, so
I'm with you. So yeah, and I hear you. Me, for some reason, I'm an old school guy. I want the document.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe that's just out of habit. And then, so for me, yeah, I love the cloud. I love that, you know, we can, there's a lot of cloud work we do in terms of this podcast, right? That's easy. Yeah. It's like, boom, boom, boom. It's right here. If I want to access it from it, I can access it.
Yep.
So that's great. But in terms of like, I don't know, work, I want the document. And people are like, hey, here's the link. And then, so I guess what happens to me is when I want to go back for it, that's like shopping in IKEA, bro. It's like, what aisle? What aisle was that in? Was it, you know, where is it? Is it LLOO, you know, right side? Like, where is this?
Yep. That is the truth. You have gotten to be where, you know, we talk about being a Google ninja, right? And being able to find things well. And that is the future of, you know, cloud computing and cloud storage that has helped me is, as long as you know what you're looking for and have an idea, you know, it makes it a lot easier.
You can search for it too, right? So I don't have to be as curmudgeonous about it. You can put a title in and it can kind of show you where it's at.
Yeah.
But in terms of email, so what are some best practices? You know, we deal with people all the time. Let's talk about best practices in terms of how to best manage this evolving world that we're in now in terms of, you know, the possibility of email getting slimmer and slimmer.
Sure. Sure. I mean, right. We talk about all the time, you know, you have to be an email assassin because there are still, it is still a tool and it is still have traction, right? So you can't ignore emails because whether you're in an organization, whether you're a business owner, whether you're an entrepreneur, you know, people are still looking to hear back from you on something. So you need to have a process for getting that cream to the top of your inbox every day so that you can respond to those necessary emails and ignore the rest. Yeah. And luckily, there are several tools and practices and habits that you can use that make that significantly easier than it has been in the past, especially as more and more spam starts attacking your inbox, etc. I mean, you really need to get a tool like Outlook or something where you can start using a focused inbox and other setting safe senders and not having favorites set up, marking messages as unread or flagging messages so that you can go, okay, that's important. I need to get to that. Let me flag that and then have a process. Go back and look at your flag messages at the end of the day. Those are some of the processes that you can use to really laser focus on what's important and what's not.
And setting time.
Yes.
I think one of the big issues that, you know, because we're working so much longer now.
Yeah.
The days are longer. We've talked about the fact that people are in back-to-back-to-back meetings that you're not really setting yourself up time to go through emails.
True.
And so that's an opportunity for people to set up. You can either set it up when you're having your coffee in the morning, right? Or you can finish your day off with it. One of the reasons I've been successful is because I do both.
You do. You are extremely talented at that.
Right. I just do both. I'm like, in the morning, what was this? What was that? Did I respond? Respond. And then at the end of the day, because it just will pile up.
Literally.
And if you don't get to it, and again, your inner circle, you're in constant communication with them. So you're not necessarily going to fall off the face of the earth to the people who you know, the top five people. Maybe it's a couple people on your team. Maybe it's who you report to. Maybe it's somebody that, you know, you pass information along to. It could be engineering, could be all of those things. But where you start to look crazy is when someone from outside of your circle hits you up and you don't respond.
Yeah, especially when the rest of your inner circle is CC'd on that email and they're asking you a question.
Yeah. You know, it's like, what are you going to do?
Right.
So what do you think the reasonable amount of time between an email for you to respond to it?
Reasonable, I think, is one day.
I agree.
That's my opinion.
I agree. This just made me think about it. How are you on out of office messages?
I could be better.
No, I mean, do you believe in them, or, you know, I
believe in it, but I don't do it.
I kind of don't believe in them.
Yeah, I mean, for us, right, we are not your typical, corporate polo shirt people. We don't sit in cubes.
As you're wearing a polo.
What are you talking about?
Willis?
I might have some important meetings later today.
Yeah, there you go.
But so we've established habits that are a lot different, but we work in a space where we're available 24/7, right?
I'm kind of available.
So even if I'm on vacation, I have the mental capacity to go, no, bro, I don't need to respond to that. Or, oh, you know what? Maybe I better just zip off an email to this really quick.
You know, this I see a little bit of a flame.
Exactly.
Blowing. It's not a full blown bonfire, but right. There's a little bit of a flame. Let me nip this in the bud and tell you, oh, by the way, I'm on the beach.
Yeah, exactly.
Just checking in from the beach. Me, you know, I had a person that I reported to, and I always say this joke. He would whip you on the way out and then whip you on the way in.
Right.
So if you're like, hey, I'm going on vacation, this person would be like, hey, oh, you are? When you leaving? Well, let me give you a task list before you leave.
Right.
And I am going to jam you up until you get out of here, almost like punishing you for leaving.
Right.
And then when you got back, it was like, oh, you back? What day you back? Let me get with you first thing and tell you everything you missed. And for me, I was like, I never want to look as though I'm gone.
Exactly.
So even if I'm gone, I'm not putting an out of office message in. And I should, just for my own peace. But I almost, you know, I almost prefer not to do it, right?
I'm the same way.
I call it hiding in plain sight.
Hiding in plain sight. I kind of liken it to a fireplace. My workload is kind of a fireplace, and my work is, you know, the hopper of logs, right? And and the idea is like, don't ever let that fire go out, right? Because that's bad. Restarting that fire is a big thing, but don't let that pile of logs get too high either. So it's all about, you know, maintaining that flame. Sometimes you gotta, you know, wow, those logs are getting pretty tall. I better put some extra logs on the fire here. I'm going to burn real hot for a little bit, but I'm going to plow through this and we're going to get back to a nice flame. Never let that fire go out. That's how I work.
Yeah. And as you say that, it makes me think about, you know, going on vacation. You can leave from work. So you almost have to compartmentalize it the same way, because you can say, I'm going to be gone and I'm not answering any emails. But you also got, you know, six kids at the crib, too. You got four dogs and two boys and you're constantly in contact with what's happening there.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like you never really get a chance to shut off because somebody's going to call you and be like, why is the air not on, you know, or, and you're like, oh, did that package come? So you're constantly still in your world.
Right.
For me, it's just like, okay, take 30 minutes before your day starts on the catamaran or whatever.
Or you're dunking the pool.
Yeah. And just make sure that there's no massive fires. Now the people around you, your circle should know that you're gone.
Completely right.
But
agree.
To me, the world doesn't need to know that I'm gone.
And to me, that's about setting up consistency, right? I think a lot of the other things that we want to talk about in the rest of this episode are about consistency. And it's just about, you know, you don't need to accept everything. You don't need to respond to everything like it's liquid nuclear fuel dripping in your hands. But at the same time, you know, be consistent, be that person. It's like, okay, I know that if I send something to Alexei or to Chris, they'll get back to me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, keep that balance alive, and it's going to keep your edge. You're going to keep your mind sharp too, right? It's like, so you're not coming back after a week going like, what are we doing here? I mean, and I'm sure that's going to get some mixed feelings, right? A lot of people are like, hey, man, when I'm gone, I'm gone. And that's great. But if you're running some big, big shows? What if you're, you know, sometimes you can't turn that off.
And I've talked to a bunch of presidents, CEOs, VPs, and, you know, that Vegas moment question I always ask them, like, you know, You working on the weekends? You work. They're like every day.
Yep.
Every day. And to me, I'm okay. I'd rather do a little bit every day.
Exactly.
Than a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's kind of like that analogy. My best man in my wedding, Mario, in college, he would wait till all of his laundry was dirty. Like,
yeah.
I mean, four garbage bags full.
Oh, man.
And so that's almost the same analogy we take with, you know, we take with expense reports.
Sure.
Right? So if you got to do four loads of laundry, you like haul it, and it's not like, you know, it's right there. You got to haul it to the laundromat.
Right.
You got to wait. You got to wash them. You got to fold all of them. That becomes a pain in the ass.
Yeah, so it's like dishes. It's like expense reports.
So you,
it's like
so the, you all dread the it. Yeah. So yeah. You dread it. So instead, I'm like, do one load at a time. One load is easy.
Manageable.
It's manageable. So in terms of email, do a little bit.
Yes.
Do a little bit every day. Right. And start to, you know, put archives up.
Exactly.
Put archives of where you, and one of the reasons, you know, you asked why we're talking about this, because I can't believe how many professional people making hundreds of thousands of dollars that never respond.
Yeah, it's psychotic. I mean, to me, it's just about, you know, highly effective people, they're like battlefield operators, right? And you're going to go, how the hell does that make sense? Mm-hmm. The ability to look at a situation, whether that be life threatening or professionally threatening or deal threatening, and be able to triage that scenario, right? Okay, is this nuclear hot, or is this, can I put mm-hmm. this on the back burner or somewhere in between? It's the same mm-hmm. thing, right? And so you need to get to a point where you can very quickly go yes, no, maybe on every right. single thing, and be able mm-hmm. to identify, oh, this can have these repercussions if I sit on this. I better respond to this now. Oh, this is not important. This is a low smoldering deal. We can camp on that. So mm-hmm. being able to prioritize on the fly like that is a skill that everybody needs to have, and they need to get better at.
Yeah. I love it. So let me just, what, let's say you want to set up a meeting with someone.
Mm-hmm.
What's your process for doing that? Right.
I hate the back and forth of, oh, is this and that and this and that and that. But I also hate when people use my calendar as like a dumping ground. So I take the effort, because I'm running a lot of meetings. I'm mm-hmm. producing a lot of shows. I am privy to a lot of that background stuff that I think people forget about. So I'll actually do the investigation. I'll go and I'll go, hey, let me look at this person's calendar. Let me look at my mm-hmm. calendar, because I'm important too. Mm-hmm. And right. let's, you know, and I'll go, okay, this looks good. And then I'll shoot it across. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm like, wow, you know, I know and they know that this is important, and I see nothing for the next 3 days, I'm going to ping them real quick. Like, hey, you look pretty jammed up. You got, can we slip something in here? Cause this is important.
Yeah. And I think I'm the same way. I like to add a piece into it.
Yep.
Even if I see it, then I'm going to be like, hey,
right.
You got like a 30-minute block here. Is that
exactly.
good?
Right.
Just because mentally, I think not everybody is at a place where they're putting, oh, I'm going to eat lunch.
No.
Right. We're not there. And one of the things I need to do a better job of is when I'm traveling, right? Because a lot of times people be like, you look open. And I'm like, I'm on a plane.
I am not.
I'm on a plane, player. So I like to, you know, I like to reach out to you no matter what.
Right.
It's like, hey, this looks like it's open. Is, you know, are you picking up your kid then? It's just one extra step. But then it's not the back and forth of, oh, you know. Like you said, I don't like when people just come into my calendar, and sometimes that's the only moment you get a chance to eat.
Right.
You know, some days I go 6 hours and it's calls or trainings.
Right.
So you got to make time.
95% of the invites that I send, everybody knows it's coming.
That's what I want. Like, I just want to preface it, not just somebody from the out of the blue comes in and it's just like, it's in my calendar for Thursday.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Not effective. If you're getting an invite from somebody, maybe it's your boss, maybe it's a project that you're working on, maybe it's a deal that you want to close, and it comes in blind, and the worst is when there's just not even any details. Like, how do you prepare? How do you wrap your head around that? Like, what the heck? This is okay. Maybe I have an idea. That's cool. But don't let there be so much confusion and unknown.
Yeah. So sort of the takeaways is keep an eye on email, because I think people are using it less. They're doing Slack messages, DMs, Teams, and definitely text messages. There's a ton of group text messaging that's going on. So even if that's the case, just recognize that a lot of people still do communicate via email, and that's their source of truth. So even if we continue to grow and, you know, focus on using technology in different ways, you have to be an email assassin.
Absolutely. I do three little things that I think help me a ton. Almost every email client on your phone has a swipe ability, and you can program what that swipe does. So a swipe to the right, if an email is read, unread, it marks it read. If it swipes to the left, I set it so that it flags that email. So now, I mean, and when Apple finally let me mark text messages unread, that was like the best day ever, because now I can go through and I can go, okay, I need to get back to that. Let me mark that as unread. Or, ooh, that's super, super hot. Let me flag that. And being able to now sort your inbox or sort your email by unread and or flagged, now you've risen that cream to the top.
Good stuff, bro. Good stuff.
Yeah, man. The other thing on top of that, when we're talking about highly effective strategies, I mean, sometimes you need the ability to parse out this, your life too, right? So the messages on your phone, the alerts, the scenarios, the people bugging you. And really, I know that Android does this. I can't talk about the exact details, but it's all about setting up do not disturb profiles. Right?
Oh my God.
A lot of people don't know. They just think, oh, I put my phone on do not disturb. It's like putting it on vibrate. Yes, but there's like 8 million other functionalities that you can add to that. You can set different profiles. You can say, okay, I'm at work, I'm at school, I'm sleeping, I'm on vacation. And for each of those different profiles, make a bunch of them. You can go in there and say, okay, these are the people, or these are the messages, or these are the notifications I'm going to let come through, but nothing
even
else.
Even though I'm chilling, I'll hear from you.
Right. Like you could set a work one that says, okay, you know what? I don't need to know about Instagram or Poppycock. I'm focused. I'm laser focused. But if my inner circle of work peeps needs to get me, let that come through.
Let that come through. I actually have that one and it works wonders.
Absolutely.
You have to have it.
I mean, for me, as somebody who has mega squirrel moments, that has really saved my life too. Yeah.
Yeah. Do not disturb is like, it's incredible, because I think a lot of people need it. Business people need it. They need it because they're highly distracted.
Yes.
And they're highly distracted at the worst times in this too. One, it's either an important meeting that you should be at, but then somehow there's always someone more important than the present that you feel like you got to take.
Yep.
Who's most important is the person you're sitting in front of.
That's right.
That's who's most important.
You're there for a reason.
not the guy that you're trying to see next week at a dinner.
Right.
call him back. You don't have to get, like, what is that? It's like this paranoia, a paranoid sense of urgency that people feel like they need to have.
It's like FOMO. So, it's like, oh, I need to be a part of this. I'm responsible for this. Like, oh, I'm going to miss out, or it's going to get, no, stop.
Yeah. Or they validate it. Like, no. This, it's super important. I'm like, no, it's not.
It's,
you know,
not.
Because if you were getting your teeth cleaned right now, you wouldn't be doing that.
No.
You know, but you're sitting in front of a customer, a partner, a business associate, and you're like completely distracted. So that's, you need that. You need do not disturb for that. And then second is when you go to get better.
Yep.
The worst is people who go, oh, you know what? I'm gonna sign up for this class. I'm gonna go do this. I'm gonna go do something to better myself. And then you want to sit there and act like you're super busy the entire time.
Exactly.
Of course you're busy, but why are you here? You're here to get better. So put some type of do not disturb on and use the break to go get it. You know?
Yep.
Hey, I'm on a 15-minute break. I'm sorry. I'm in a train. Just tell people you're in a training.
Yep. It'll still be there.
It'll still be there. And actually, you'll do a better job of not trying to squeeze it in, because you're going to look bad to the people that you're getting back to, because you're going to seem all rushed.
Yep.
And then you're going to look bad to the people who are hosting you.
Yep.
It's like, hey, why are you late every time we come back from break?
Oh,
the worst. And so now you've ruined your reputation. So now people are looking at you sideways.
And that, let me just please over to everything.
Let me just give you all a little tip here. You know, people are always watching you.
Always.
They're always watching you. And definitely people who train people and coach people, they see people's habits.
Mm-hmm.
So either you're falling into the rut of everybody else who's consistently distracted, right? Not investing in themselves. Or you're going to be a person who comes, shows up, puts their phone down, raises their hand, engages.
Yep.
And is there for what they're supposed to be. And so you just have to ask yourself, which one do you want to look like?
Totally. I kind of have a story to tell, and this is something that I learned as a young man, and I try to keep it. I'm not always successful at it, but I try to keep this in mind. A lot of life is about courting. It's about relationships. It's about maintaining that attraction, whether it's professional or spiritual or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I had just started dating this lady. I was in my early 20s. I just moved down to California. And life was like, oh man, California, this is amazing. And I went on a couple dates with this lady, and I was like, she's pretty awesome. This is a lot of fun. And so immediately, because I'm not a successful dater. I haven't dated in, you know, 15 years. And so I was just like, hey, I like you. Let's go do some fun things. This sounds cool. What are you doing tomorrow? And that was okay, but it became very apparent very quickly that I was maybe smothering that relationship a little bit. I was overly available. Mm-hmm, it was impossible to miss me, right? Because I was just like, you want to do something? What's going on? And I was just being completely transparent. I didn't think anything of it, but you didn't
think you had to play coy.
Right. Right. And so, so that person was kind of like, you kind of smothered me a little bit. And I was kind of like, whoa. And so I didn't disappear. I didn't poof, but I was just kind of like, oh, okay. Let me just, you know what? Wow. Understood. And so I kind of backed off, and then I just basically left the ball in their court when it was needed, instead of like, hey, what's going on? Did you get this message? What's going on? You know? And like, I think three weeks, maybe even a month goes by, and the person's like, hey, where'd you go? I'm like, I'm right here. But didn't, you know, that was it. So the whole point of the story is, whether you work for maybe you're in sales, maybe you're doing whatever. Leave some space for that person to miss you and think about you. Don't be at their beck and call. Don't make it to where they can take you for granted. Like, oh, if I call this person, they're going to answer immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody has a life. Everybody has a scenario. Let there be room to be missed is the point I'm making. Mm.
That's great. And that works for your customers as well.
Exactly.
Because a lot of people turn into professional beggars.
100%.
And sometimes you just want to provide the information, state why you believe it, you know, state the facts, right? State the facts in terms of this is why you should do it, and then have confidence and be like, hey, I told you, it's up to you.
Right.
I told you, and you know what? I'll let you do the digging. And I found historically, when I've done that and just showed my confidence and walked away, they're like, okay. But then, you know, meanwhile, you've got your competition who's on a professional begging spree.
Right.
Right. So now they're going to look at you different. Like, oh, this person's confident. They walked away. They're not begging. They're talking about something different. I'm going to let it sit with you. And when you do that, I think people see confidence. The message is clear. And it's no need for you to live in a constant state of panic.
Yeah. I mean, in the sales world, we talk about it all the time. Maybe once in a while, you're going to need to recommend the right product. And that might not be what you're selling.
It might not be you.
And it that's okay.
but then they're going to respect you.
Exactly.
If they're like, I don't think I can help you out with this one.
Right.
That's not, you know, there's some, out of the few limitations that our portfolio has, that's one of them.
Right.
So I'll let you go someplace else. Right.
And you're only gaining respect because now you're not just there for the money. You're like, oh, mm-hmm. This is a real relationship that where there's trust and respect. I value this person, and you're going to be amazed at how much more, you know, respect you're going to get out of that.
You know, Bailey.
Man,
we did it. That was a good one, man.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff we could keep talking about, but that was awesome.
That was that's pretty good. And I think obviously we'll have more to talk about this in the future, but the nature of business, you know, we'll talk more about technology, but the nature of business is changing around us.
Completely.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
You need to get to a spot where you can be present in the moment. Mm-hmm. And still, you need to be good at multitasking. You need to be good at being in the moment, and you need to be good at prioritizing your business, your family, and your personal scenarios. And that's the juggling match that equals success.
Well said.
My dude.
All right, man.
Cool, man. Had some fun.
Nope. No,
oh yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Wait, no, I got it. Let me pull it up. I got it. Where is it? It's right here. All right,
it's in IKEA.
It's in the cloud. you're hanging out with some homies, and they're like, "Hey, let's. You guys want to split a pizza?" And you're like, "Yeah, yeah, that sounds great. Pineapple or no pineapple?"
Oh man. For the people that like it, sure. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
When it first came out, I think I remember where I was at. I was at Chuck E. Cheese and my godmother ordered it, and I was like, are you a witch or something? Like, I didn't know you could put pineapple on pizza.
Yeah.
But as time went around, now there are some combinations that it tastes really good.
Exactly.
Right? There's like a Hawaiian, you know, style.
I love Hawaiian pizza.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not, if there's no time that I'm going to get it, but if people are geeked about it, cool.
Yeah. That's it. Positive answer. I like it.
I'm going to double down. I'm going to come back to you. Okay.
Okay.
So you got said pizza, and you're at a friend's house. They lay all the pizza out.
Yep.
And then you know everybody's got pizza. Then they pull out a bottle of ranch, and they're gonna squeeze it on the side of the plate. Are you taking ranch with your pizza?
No, my youngest son almost can't eat pizza without ranch. But I'm like, no ranch for me.
I got some family, and it's a staple. It's like, where's the ranch? And right. I was like, you tend to forget about it. You're like, what? And it's like, pull the ranch out because I need it with my pizza.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have joked about this a ton, and we'll nip this in the bud real quick. But for the longest time, I think I had like, I went to my granddad took me to a really fancy steak restaurant. And I think the A1 steak sauce or something. I was like, you need sauce on this, right? And my grandfather looked at me like, you are dead to me. And I was like, what is going on? Because I had realized that I had grown up with substandard steak. And so he's like, no, this needs nothing. This is exactly how it needs to be. So for the longest time, certain foods, I was like, you don't put sauce on this. And then you kind of joked around me. You were like, hey, man, those pork chops, you put some Heinz 57 on those pork chops.
You like to rip my head off.
I was like, what is wrong with you? These need nothing.
I was like, bro, at the crib. Now, see, that's the deal, right? I believe when you're in public, there's a certain way.
Etiquette.
There's a certain etiquette. Right. No. Yeah. The most I'm going to order with a steak is some horseradish.
There you go.
That's it. But at your own home, I believe you have the right to pull out sauces and different things of that nature, because it's like you're free, right? You're free from all the social norms.
Yep.
But how was that Heinz 57 on them pork chops?
I don't have a pork chop without it anymore.
Heinz, we need some business, bro.
Give us the goods.
give us the goods, player. Well, as always, man, appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you.
Talk to you next time. And to all my peeps out there, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for liking. But most importantly, thank you in advance for passing this on to a friend. Take this and take this episode, take the show, and forward it to some folks in your phone.
Help us help you.
Help us help you. Talk to you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.